A lot of young people sit right in the congregation and the assembly where they can hear the warnings of God to them and their old youthful lust, and still walk right on. There they are, right near that evil they're out there reaching for, clawing for. Duh, I just can't stand it. Home's too clean. I got to get in the hog pen, mama, daddy, preacher. I got to get in the hog pen. I want to feed with the hogs and the dogs and the cats. Lord, God have mercy. Why don't you be the honorable one in your family? 1 Chronicles 4:9, the Bible says Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and God chose him to bless. He was more honorable than his brethren. You say, oh, it's so hard when you're young. Read the Bible, all these wonderful illustrations of young men and young ladies that decided when they were young they'd stay home and be clean and virtuous, marry. Like the Bible says, God said in 1 Timothy 5:14-15, I will therefore that the younger women marry. Save your virtue for that boy you want to share this life with. Save it for him. Don't come up there and all like an old prostitute. Done been out and had it all and give yourself to somebody and you're still as miserable as you was before you got married. I've had women come up to me in revivals and tell me, hey, be seeking the Lord. I said, why don't you give your heart to God, young ladies? I don't even remember where this was. But I remember one looking at me and saying, you know, I just can't get right with God. I said, well, why don't you settle down and give your heart to a man? See, that's what God is saying. Young women, I want you to give your heart to a man. I want you to marry him. I want you to live with him. I want you to save yourself for him and him only, as long as you both shall live. She looked at me. She said, there ain't no one man could satisfy me. Got up and left. Boy, that's a terrible thing. And let me tell you, you look at these little gals walking around the streets around here and tell there ain't nothing to satisfy them. They ain't going to settle down and let one man have their body. No way. They're going to live with the hogs and the dogs, the cats. Here it is. Here it is, dogs. Come on and get it. Come on, dogs! This young man, he went out, and after he'd spent everything and lost his virtue, dissipating himself with drink and smoking and gambling and sex, and he'd tried it all. Then there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he went into the fields to feed the swine. And he wanted what the swine did eat, and the man wouldn't even let him have what the hogs was eating. And when he came to himself, hungry, impoverished, desecrated. See, this body was made to for God to live in. There's one thing the Bible reveals, I think, as forcefully as anything that God has ever revealed to the human family is, this body is made as a temple for God to dwell in. And God said, if you defile that temple, I'll destroy it for you. Why do you think disease is eating up so many people today? Why do you think AIDS and many other incurable social diseases are going to, God permitting, to come on this generation because of their stinking sins. Oh, you'll find a preacher. You'll find that over in the 9th chapter of John, verse 1. Jesus passed by and he saw a man that was blind from his mother's womb. His disciples said, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither did this man sin nor his parents, but that the works of God would be manifest in him. That was just one case where God had somebody prepared, blind, that Jesus could heal without anything to hinder that miracle from being performed in his life to glorify Jesus Christ. He didn't go around healing everybody. He healed a lot of folks. He don't heal everybody today. He's not going to heal everybody today either. God said you'll lay and mourn at the last when your flesh and body are consumed and say, why didn't I hear instruction? Why didn't I obey the voice of my teachers? Why didn't I incline mine ear to those that instructed me? I'd like for you to have been with me in Memphis with that boy in that county hospital several years ago when I was pastoring there. Him laying over in a corner of this great big old section of the hospital that was for incurables. I walked around a lot of them and spoke to them and prayed for some of them. But they wouldn't let me over in that corner. There was a fellow where dying with some kind of strange disease. It could have been the AIDS and they didn't even know nothing about it. That was back in the 50s. Could talk to him about as far as from here, about halfway back of this sanctuary. No closer. That old boy's last words were, preacher, you go tell everybody, everywhere you go, all the young people, tell them from me. Him there died right on the verge of falling victim to that terrible disease any moment. He said, tell them from me. If they eat the devil's corn, he'll choke them to death with a cob. And he began to gasp and cough and cry out incoherently and died like a hog right there on that bed. You go tell the young people for me, if you eat the devil's corn, he'll take the cob and choke you to death with it. God have mercy. I get so tired of preaching to a bunch of people acting like fools, like I'm wrong and they're so stinking smart and right. I'm telling you what the Bible said, and I've seen it from life experience. The prodigal, being the one that goes out and winds up with some old herpes or the AIDS or the gonorrhea or the syphilis. Or you had to have an abortion and bring more reproach and bring more innocent blood upon this nation and this generation. God have mercy sakes. You going into that, all these dope addicts and all, they claim to get saved like Johnny Cash and a bunch of them. They don't give glory to God. They just go on just about. They do everything they used to except use drugs. That's not being saved, ladies and gentlemen. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away and all things become new. Now the old prodigal son came to himself. He said, I'm going home. I perish with hunger. My father has bread enough to spare, and the servants have better than me. And here's what I'll do. I'll go to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned. That's confession and that's repentance. And he says, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. Make me a hired servant. And he arose and came to his father, and his father saw him a long way off. He wasn't going down that road with that old air of cockiness and arrogance and confidence. I can face it. My dad don't know what he's talking about. I don't like the cleanness around this house and that discipline. That talking about Jesus and God and that praying and reading the Bible and going to church all the time. Fool you on that. I'm a smart little fella. Boy, a few short months later, a few short years later, here he's coming back down that old long, dusty road, a dejected figure, walking. Probably had an old disease, no telling what all was wrong with him, about to starve to death. Well, let me tell you something, that hog pen at least had changed his attitude. When your attitude gets changed, then God can do something with you.